Okay, Chav Zayin 27A3. Chav Zayin Amid Aleph.
Twenty-seven A3.
10 lines in the bottom of the page, approximately. Okay, there was an argument between Abai and Rava. If a person is an aid lahachis, okay, that means a mummer, a rebellious Jew, eats food. So if it's l'teyavin, meaning he likes it because he saves money, so then you see he's not trustworthy in money, so he's definitely not worthy to be an aid. But if he does it despite Hashem, meaning it's not an issue of money, he doesn't care. He just does it despite Hashem. So Abaye says he's not kosher, and Rava says he is kosher, to be a witness. Why? Because according to Abaye, any rush is no good. The guy eats treif. It doesn't matter why. He eats treif. He's not a kosher witness. Rava holds no. It's only a rasha that deals in financial stories. If it's not financial, then he's still kosher to be a witness. That's what Rava held. And the Gemara brought a question from a braisa. It says, Al Toshes Yotcha, and it speaks only about Gazlin and people that borrow money with interest, only financial things. So the Gemara refuted Abaye. The Gemara says, Tyufta da Abaye, Tyufta. Okay? Then the Gemara went into a whole story that Abaye and Rav is really a machlekes between a man and a chachamim. So now the Gemara rules, Behilchus se kavasi da Abaye. Again, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines at the bottom of the page. The Gemara rules the halacha is like Abaye. So the Gemara adds vayitaisiv, but they brought a braisa that says the opposite of Abaye. We just refuted Abaye in the middle of the page. How can you say the halacha is like Abaye? So the Gemara answers, Ahir Abyeisi. That braisa that says only monetary things is according to Abyeisi. That's what Abyeisi holds. But Rav Meir says any rush is no good. And Abaye holds like Rav Meir, and therefore it's not a question on Abaye. But the Gemara asks, still, there's a rule in Halacha, when there's an argument, Rabbi Yaisi and Rabbi Meir, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi. So you're telling me the Halacha is like Abaye who holds like Rabbi Meir, but there's a rule, V'tevin amir Rabbi Yaisi, L'cheira, how could, even if the Braisa follows Rabbi Yaisi, but there's a rule in Halacha, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yaisi, Halacha k'Rabbi Yaisi. The halacha is like Rabbi Yaisi. So you're telling me the halacha, it's like a contradictory halacha. You tell me the halacha is like Abaye, who holds like Rabbi Meir, but we know another rule that when Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yaisi argued, the law is like Rabbi Yaisi, so the halacha shouldn't be like Abaye. So the Gemara answers.
Rabbi Yaisi, not Abaye.
Huh?
Rabbi Yaisi.
Rabbi Yaisi.
See, see Abaye.
No, we say the halacha is like Abaye. But Abaye holds like Rabbi Meir, and yet another place we know the rule is always like Rabbi Yaisi. So how is a contradictory halacha? So the Gemara answers, Shani Hasim the Sosim Leitana Karameir. The answer is like this. Because in other places we find that the Mishnah rules, like in this case, like Rab Meir, without even mentioning a name. There's a rule in Gemara, Halacha Kistam Mishnah. There's a halacha is always like a nameless Mishnah. Why? A lot of times you have arguments in the Mishnah. Right? Like we know always you have arguments in a Mishnah. And sometimes a Mishnah says nameless people. No names. Just says a halacha. Now obviously, somebody said the halacha. Yeah. So why didn't the Rebbe, when he wrote the Mishnah, why doesn't he say who said it? Didn't come from the air. Somebody said the halacha. So why didn't Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi write who said it? So the Gemara explains, because Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi wanted to show that that's the halacha as if everybody agrees with it. That's the rule. So the rule in Gemara, halacha kistam mishnah. There's a rule all over Shas. What's another interesting point is, the Gemara says, stam mishnah is Rav Meir. Who's the author of a stam mishnah? 99% of the time it's Rav Meir. Which is interesting, because in this case, so the Gemara says like this, even though normally, Rav Yaisi and Rav Meir, the halacha is like Rav Yaisi, in this case it's going to be like Rav Meir. Why? Because we find a Stam Mishnah, the Gemara is going to try to find where that is. But we find a Stam Mishnah that says the halacha is like Rav Meir. Where do we find it? Where do we find that there's a concept of a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir? He said, the Gemara tells a story. Okay? This guy Bar Chama killed somebody. He killed somebody. So the head of Golus, meaning the head of the Jewish people, said to the Baba Yaakov, "Puk Aimba, go check it out. Check it out if he killed him or not." But right away the Mefarshim explained that even though there was no death penalty already in this time, but they wanted to know if the guy was guilty of such a crime or not. So the Reish Galus said to the Baba Bar Yaakov, check it out, find out if the guy, you know, the witnesses, find out what the story is. So Gemara says like this, and why? Ivade Kotu? Because if the guy really killed him, L'chayle Nail, we're going to gouge out his eyes. Even though there was no death penalty. So the Mefarshim at the bottom, you see, there's a whole bunch of things. One is kill him, one is dim his eyes, one is give him a fine and punishment. Different interpretations what this means. But he said, if he's guilty, we're going to punish him. Whatever.
At that time, they didn't have the jail system back then.
There was never a jail system in Torah. Never and never will be.
Just find a murderer and that's it?
There's a sikha from the Rebbe, what, it's printed already. Why, in English also, why there's no jail term? You don't find jail term in Torah as a punishment. Sometimes you lock up a guy that he shouldn't be hurting other people. Sometimes you lock him up until like in Chumash to find out what the ruling is. But there's no such thing as punishment of jail term.
What's the Beit HaSurim?
But in the Torah?
What?
In the Chumash, but Beit HaSurim?
So I'm saying, in Torah, the guy Mekoshe Sheitzim. Vayinichoshe B'mishmar. B'mishmar means a jail to find out what the halacha is.
But Yosef was in jail for 12 years.
That's not Torah, that's Egyptian.
But in then.
One second. Look. Yeah, I know it's in the Torah, but it's not a Torah punishment. So listen a second. So the Rebbe explains in a Sicha, it's a very fundamental Sicha, by the way. Why there's no concept of jail term? Here you do a crime in 10 years as a punishment.
Oh.
Okay. So the Rebbe explained why in Torah don't we use either Malchus, Misa, something like that.
Yeah.
So the Rebbe explains because the purpose of a human on life is to accomplish. Okay? To put somebody in prison where he can't accomplish what he's supposed to be accomplishing, you are wasting a fundamental aspect of the purpose of creation. Okay? So the Rebbe says, according to Torah, the Eibishter doesn't make things to waste time. You go, not only that, the Rebbe says, what happens usually in prison, they become more hardcore. Because that's where the environment is. So the Rebbe explains like this. Therefore, according to Torah, you need to cleanse the person. So if he did certain avers, give him malchus. If a person, let's say, killed somebody, that the din is capital punishment, that means, you're killing him, he's not going to be able to function anymore in life. That means the person did an aveda, that his action forfeited his right to be constructive, and therefore you just kill him. Because that person cannot be constructive anymore, and his cleansing is by killing him. Jail term, the Rebbe said, is mamash a waste of time. Therefore, it's interesting, the Rebbe demanded, they're fighting this in the courts, about rather than jail term, to rehabilitate the person. Get him back into society as a normal person, that he won't commit the crimes. Okay, anyway, so the peril. This guy killed somebody. The Reish Galus said to Rabbi Bar Yaakov, check it out. If he's guilty, we're going to punish him, whatever. One second. So two witnesses came. Two witnesses came and testified that Taka killed him. That Bar Chama Taka killed the guy. What happened? So, what's him called? Bar Chama, the defendant, brought another two witnesses. One witness said, Asadabay Mahanach, he brought two witnesses. Chadam Akamoy Didi, Ganav Kabad Khusha. One witness said, one witness stole from me, it's not from me, I witnessed him stealing a barley. Chadam Akamoy Didi, Ganav, and the other one says, in my presence he stole a spear handle. Yeah. In other words, like this. Two witnesses came and testified Bar Chama killed somebody. Bar Chama went and brought two witnesses to disqualify the first.
It's two.
You know, one guy said, but it's interesting, two witnesses against the two. One disqualified one and one disqualified the other. Right? Just keep that in mind. One said he stole from me barley, and the other one said he stole. So he's a ganav. Both ganavim. Now, even though l'cha'era, they're not two against one. Yeah. It's one against one. Yeah. But both are saying the same thing. They're not kosher witnesses. In other words, their testimony, it's not important. This guy says he stole barley. This guy said he stole a spear, whatever. Yeah? They're not saying the same thing, but they're saying the same thing. Both aiders against each one individually, that the guy is not kosher to testify. So what happened? Amalei, so the Baba Yaakov said to Bar Choma, my daitoch, what do you want to bring out by showing your witnesses? He says, Krab Meir, the Krab Meir, that if they're kosher, if they're disqualified in a smaller sin, they can't testify in a bigger sin. But there was another argument the Gemara brought down that I didn't mention before, and that is, if a guy is a liar for a small sin, is he going to lie for a big sin or not? Rav Meir says yes. Rav Meir says, if you're a liar in stealing, about stealing, then you're going to be a liar about killing.
No matter what.
Once you're a liar, you're a liar. Rav Yossi says no. A guy might lie for small things, but not for big things. What happened over here? You're talking about here a capital punishment. Did Rav Chama killed, did Bar Chama kill the guy or not? Did Bar Chama kill the guy or not? Right? So he brought witnesses that these guys stole. Now, Rav Meir says, if they prove that they stole, that they're going to lie about killing also. So they talk and disqualify the witnesses. According to Rav Yossi, they would still be kosher. Because, yeah, they got nothing, but for capital punishment, we believe. That's what Rav Yossi holds. And Rav Meir v'Rav Yossi, halachic Rav Yossi. But Rav Yossi holds, who's a medine mamonis, just be found, because they're found to be liars in dine mamonis, kosher l'dine nefashis. But they're kosher for capital punishment. So in other words, Rav Abba Bar Yaakov said to Chama Bar, what's the name? Bar Chama, you didn't do anything by disqualifying these witnesses. You're saying these witnesses stole, and therefore they cannot testify that you killed somebody. According to Rabbi Yossi, they're allowed to testify that you killed somebody. Yes, they're liars for stealing, but they're not liars when it comes to capital punishment. They're not going to lie. So therefore, what you did was worthless by disqualifying those witnesses, because they're not disqualified according to Rabbi Yossi. According to the mayor, they're disqualified. According to Rabbi Yossi, they are. Right? So the Gemara answers, Amalei Rav Papi. Rav Papi says no. When is the halacha between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi? The halacha is Rav Yossi. That's only where there's no stam mishnah like Rav Meir. Like the Gemara just got to saying, Hacha sasam la'tanik Rav Meir. But here there's a stam mishnah like Rav Meir, and therefore the halacha is going to be like Rav Meir, not like Rav Yossi. So therefore the witnesses are disqualified. It's a very simple thing that's going on over here.
The amount of
Bar Chama brought witnesses that these two witnesses are not kosher. Yeah? So the Baba Bar Yaakov was checking into the situation. He was given the job of checking into the halacha, into the facts. He says, 1 minute, you can't disqualify these witnesses because they stole. Because Rabbi Yossi, and that's the halacha, he says, if they lie for stealing, they're believed in capital punishment. He said, no. The puppy opened up his mouth. Another Amayda got involved. And he said, no. When is halacha like Rabbi Yossi against the mayor if there's no stam mishnah like Rabbi Meir? But if there's a stam mishnah like Rabbi Meir, then the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. So therefore, the witnesses are disqualified.
That says no matter what type of sin they did,
any sin is disqualified for any sin. What did you want to say before? What?
Amount of the stealing is not mentioned here.
Doesn't matter.
One penny or $1,000 or...
Doesn't matter. You steal, you steal.
This could be a very bad question. If the halacha is already laid out by Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, what's Abaye and Rav being
No, that's the Gemara asked Neymar Katanoi. I didn't want to, we learned that last time. The Gemara asked Neymar Katanoi. And the Gemara answers what the chiddush is, that Abaye holds like Rav Meir and Rav Yossi.
I thought maybe it's a sub-category, sub-situation.
No. The Gemara asked the question, the Gemara says, no, Abaye says, according to Rav Yossi, for sure they don't agree. But according to the mayor, the Abaye says I can hold like a mayor.
When it says he stole barley, it doesn't necessarily mean he stole one grain of barley. Right?
It doesn't matter. Once you steal, you steal. If stealing is a sin...
Less than a pruta, it's...
Less than a pruta is worse than a pruta. It's worse to steal a half a penny than a penny. No! Because there's a, if you steal, it's a ve'eshiv is a gzela. There's a pattern to mitzvah, right? If you stole, the Torah says, rectify it by giving it back.
Oh, okay? You can't
do it. Stealing is on any amount, even less than a pruta. The mitzvah of returning is only on a pruta. So in other words, you stole without it being able to rectify the situation. So the Gemara says it's worse to steal a half a pruta than it is to steal a whole pruta. A whole pruta, if I steal, you know, if you do it right. if you drink coffee, you don't drink decaf. You drink coffee. You drink soda, you drink Coke. I mean, if you do it, you do it right.
You want to steal a seed big, huh?
Only if you're a ganef in your court. But if you made
if
you smoke cigarettes, you smoke, you know, the Marlboros, you don't smoke these
obsessive.
Yeah, come on, shoulder. You do it, right, that's all. If you steal, you steal right, you know, steal.
But some of them, the price is different. You can smoke.
I told you, there was a shliach went to a... Yeah, shliach went to an older shliach once, and he said, "I can't sleep at night. I'm in debt." And the shliach, $10,000. I can't sleep at night. He said to him, "You're a fool. If you're not sleeping at night already, you might as well be $100,000 in debt. If you're not sleeping anyway, what's the? You know, if you're not sleeping, what's your problem?
If you're caught and you're made, you give that which you stole.
Right.
If you're go to court and you lose in court."
Then you give... Demand for a gazlan.
Four times or five times, right?
No. That's only if you shechted or sold it.
So how much do you give
back? What?
If you did gneva in daylight.
Broad daylight? You just pay back the thing. Or if not, the money. Gazlan? Huh?
If you did gazela?
I'm saying gazela is the middle of the day. Broad daylight. When you're... Ganef is quietly at night.
And how much do you give back?
Double.
It's always double.
Unless
always. The Ganov gives double, Gazlan gives the same.
Nothing.
What do you mean if they both have
names? Nothing, the same thing.
Yeah, but not double. I'm saying they're what he.
If they both admit, they don't. They're both not fined.
Yeah, but by Gazlan there's no fine. Only a Ganov is fined. That he pays double. The double is the fine. If I steal some, I have to give it back. That's not a fine. It's monetary. I stole $100 from you, I have to give back $100.
Yes.
If the Torah says you're a Ganov, you have to steal, you have to pay back $200. So that $100 is a fine. And the rule is, made the beknas is potter. If a guy comes to Besdin and says, "I was a ganef and I stole," then he doesn't have to pay double. He just have to pay back the principal that he stole.
This law, Rabbi, you can disqualify any witnesses.
Yeah.
So this is not, the court is not going through. It stay all open.
Why can they disqualify?
Because
everybody's a ganef.
They say you were stealing, yeah. Okay, they are allowed.
No, they checked them out. No, stamazi. So the puppy said, though, but the loch is a kremeh, because it's a stam mishnah like kremeh. So now the Gemara is going to find out which stam mishnah rules like kremeh, that even a small sin is bad for a big sin, and even testimony on a small thing is no good for a big thing. Right? That's what we just said. So he says, Ilei memiyad etnan, if you're going to say it's from a mishnah that we learned in the Nida, it says like this, Kala roi lodun dini nefashis, Roy Lodin Dine Maminus. The Mishnah says over there like this. Whoever is fit to judge capital punishment is fit to judge monetary issues. Okay? That means if you're able to judge a stricter case, for sure a lower case. So the Gemara says, Mani, who is it like? Ilem Rabbi Yaisi. You can't go contra Rabbi Yaisi. Why? Rabbi Yaisi says, the Ika Eidzaim, the Gemara says, of money, the Kashal Dine Nefashis. Upasil ladine maminis. For instance, in Eid Zaymim, 27b1, first column. B1. He says, the Eid Zaymim, according to the base, he said in by us, he's kosher ladine nefashis, but he can't, because Rabbi Yaisi says, just because he lies in a small thing, he's not going to lie in a big thing, right? Now, Ella, apostle din emaminus. Yet he's not kosher for din emaminus. Meaning, is that according to Rabbi Yossi says, whoever is fit to do capital punishment is fit to do civil cases. It's not true because Eid Zaymim is fit to do capital punishment, and not monetary issues according to Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, we must say, Elamani Rameyer. We must say it goes according to Rabbi, because it can't go according to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, you find a case that a guy can judge capital punishment, but he can't judge monetary issues. For instance, an Eid Zaymim, a disqualified witness, who is disqualified in monetary issues. According to Rabbi Yossi, he could judge capital punishment, but he can't judge civil cases because the guy lied in civil cases. Right? So he can't go according to Rabbi Yossi. So must say goes according to Rabbi Meir. So maybe Dilma Bipsuli Yuchsin Koy, maybe the disqualification is not because of an Aveda, maybe it's because of Yichus. Meaning it's not a kosher,
It's
a relative, whatever it may be.
So the guy's a chronic liar.
His father was a horrible person?
No, that's not.
What does Yichus mean?
Yichus means either he's not Jewish or he's a pagan in the Judaism or... Gemara's going to explain in a second.
It does make sense that if he lied in monetary, he's not going to lie in his because it's so much more serious.
In other words, like this. Can a mamzer be a dayan?
No.
So the Gemara says later, only in civil cases, not in capital punishment cases. Because over there, it has to be pure lineage.
Isn't it something about the characters?
No. Well, what's wrong with a mamzer? Some of my best friends are mamzer.
How does the community know somebody's mamzer?
You have to find out.
You don't.
But a lot of times you do know.
The guy
knows the parents were married according to Allah, and then they never...
Not come and say, I'm a mamzer.
Yeah, but people know that kid is a mamzer. The world says three things came to Hashem with a complaint. Okay? The letter Yud of Sarai came to Hashem with a complaint. Hashem changed the name from Sarai to Sarah. Yeah? That means the Yud was taken away. Yeah? So the Yud came with a complaint to Hashem. Well, look, you took me away for no reason. So Hashem said, okay, we'll pay you back. Hoshea ben Nun became Yehoshua. So like this, you were the last letter of a lady's name. We're going to make you the first letter of a man's name. Okay, fine. Aleinu l'shabeach came to complain to God and said, you know, you put me at the end of davening. Everybody's running out of shul already. Come on, it's not right. So Hashem said, okay, you know what? We'll put you in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur service. Aleinu, everybody bows, they sing it. Oop. A mamzer comes to Hashem and says, it's my fault. What am I deserving? Hashem said, okay, no worry. We'll make you the president of a shul.
A
shul, yeah. Okay, anyway.
Or the president of America.
He's a Muslim, not a Muslim.
There's no Muslim in Muslim.
They're all mamzerim. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says like this. So the din is, the Mishnah is going to say later, a mamzer cannot judge din in a fashas, right? But he could judge civil cases. So the Gemara says, Dilma b'sul yuchsin kam, maybe this that a mayor says, whoever is able to judge capital punishment can judge civil case, and that's speaking about sins. He's being like a mamzer, people like that. They can judge, whoever can judge capital punishment can judge civil cases. The Gemara says, no, they can't be. But the Gemara proves it. The Ilei Teimahachi, it says at the safe of that Mishnah, Lod Yeshroi, Lodun Dini Maminis, there are people that are able to judge civil cases, but cannot judge Dini Nefashis. The end of the Mishnah says, there are people, first the Mishnah said, whoever is able to judge din and nefashis can judge civil cases. Then the Mishnah says, but there are people that can judge civil cases, but cannot judge capital cases. Right? Now, amayin eroi, why isn't he fit? The izim bedin and nefashis, But if he, because he judged, he became disproven in capital punishments, he could judge civil cases. But the Gemara says, everybody says that such a case, if a guy was proved guilty in capital punishment, for sure he's going to lie in other cases. So we must say he's speaking b'psul yuchsin. We must say that Mishnah is not speaking about sins. In other words, like this. The Gemara wanted to prove from that Mishnah, that the Allah is like a mayor, that even a little sin disqualifies you from a big sin. Okay? So Gemara says, no, over there we're not talking about sins. Over there we're talking about lineage. Meaning, the Mishnah says, if you're fit to judge capital punishment, you could judge civil cases. But then the Mishnah continues, you could judge civil cases, there are people that could judge civil cases, but not capital cases. Right? Now, what does that mean? It has to be speaking about yichus. Meaning, they could judge, a mamzer could judge civil cases, but he can't judge capital punishment. Because if it's aveda, and a guy was lying for a din in a fashas, he can't judge din in a modernist either. So therefore, we must say he's speaking not about sins, only about yichus. So if that's the case, we don't have a stam mishnah like Rameir that says for sins, an easy sin is no disqualifies for a worse sin. So Gemara says there's another stam mishnah. We find another Tam Mishnah like a mayor. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah like this. Elohim Psulim, these are non-kosher witnesses. Vesacha Bekuvya, gambler. Malavi Brib is sparrows with interest. Mafricha Yenim, we learned all this before, that they do the pigeon gambling. Seichri Shvias, people that do money during Shvias. And Avadim, and slaves. Slaves are also not kosher, okay? Why? Because slaves, the Gemara said before, they always steal. Okay. Then the Mishnah says like this. Zahaklal. Call Eidus Shein Ishik Sheidala. Any testimony which a woman would not be allowed to testify. Okay? Because normally a woman cannot testify except certain things. Af Ein Ein Sheidala. The same thing, these are not eligible to testify. Meaning, all these types of people cannot testify on a case where women could testify. Where women cannot testify. So he says, Ilema Rabbi Eisi, yeah? But according to Rabbi Eisi, Ha'ika Eidedin in the Foshis, Shein Ishik Sheirala, right? There's Dina in the Foshis, that women, according to Rabbi Eisi, that if you sin a little sin, you could testify for a big sin. So a gambler, according to Rabbi Eisi, can he testify in capital punishment? Yes. Because he's a liar in smallest sins. He's a gambler. But according to Rabbi Eisi, if you sin in a little sin, you still believe to testify on a harder case. Right? But a woman cannot testify for either. What did the Mishnah say? Whoever is kosher for any case that a woman could testify, cannot testify. These guys can't. Yeah? But according to Rabbi Eisi, these guys could testify in capital punishment and a woman can't. So we must go according to that mayor. So therefore the Gemara says like this. The Gemara proves 9:30. The Gemara proves that there's a Stam Mishnah like a mayor that says once you're disbelieved,
that's it.
You're never believed. Now, these guys, we come back to the murder case of Bar Chama, they were proven that they're Ganovim. This guy stole barley, this guy stole the spear. Stole the spear, yeah? So therefore, they're disqualified from testifying that Bar Chama killed this guy.
Disqualifying,
because the mayor holds that even a small sin disqualifies you from a big testimony, right? So because they were a liar, stole, they're not believed to believe in capital punishment. So therefore, what happened? There was no witnesses that Bar Chama killed anybody.
So,
1 second. What happened? The Gemara says, come Bar Chama. So this guy Bar Chama was now with the puppies proving of a Stam Mishnah like Rameir, that once you're disqualified, you're always disqualified. Bar Chama got up, Nashka Kari did a puppy, kissed the puppy's foot. Vikarba, Vikibla Lecharga the Kulishni. And he said, Bar Chama was a big machaben in the government. He said, as a payment to the puppy for finding the Stam Mishnah that proved Alochas like Rameir, that disqualified these two witnesses that said he killed the guy, he said he went to the king and got Rav Papi off taxes for a year. I mean, I'm sorry, not for a year, for the rest of the years. The rest of his life. So the Rishonim asked, why isn't that interest?
Yeah.
I mean, the bribe. The bribe. The answer is no. It was after the judgment already. Not before. If he did it before the judgment, it's a bribe. He did it after the judgment. It's not a bribe.
Anyway, very rich.
Who? No, Rav Papa. This is Rav Papi. He's a different guy. Maybe he was also rich. I don't know, but the Gemara says Rav Papa was wealthy.
Bar Chama was a known person?
Bar Chama was, obviously, in the time of the Gemara, he was known. I don't know.
Was he an Amorah?
No.
No, Rami Bar Chama. That's a different one.
There's a guy Bar Chama. There's Rami Bar Chama.
Why is he called by his father's name?
That's the way he was known.
Like he called Ben Avraham.
Why is Ben Azay called Ben Azay?
I don't know.
So there's two reasons. Either because he died young or because they were so brilliant even as a kid. You know, when you find a kid that's brilliant, say, whose kid is that? Same thing. Another reason is said because there were four Shimons in that class. Ben Azay, Ben Zayma, Shimon HaTimani, and Shimon Ben Anas. So they called him by the last name, like, you know. When my wife was teaching in Beis Rivka, before we got married, she was teaching third grade. And there, huh?
How many Menachem?
No, it's Beis Rivka. In third grade, out of a class of 20, no, third grade when my wife was teaching, before I got married,
okay.
The Rebbe Simcha Mushko was still alive. That was the Rebbe Simcha passed away, Tavshin Chofei. Okay. So that class of third grade, out of some 25 kids, there were 20 Chanis.
Wow.
20 girls. Because everybody named that year the kids Chana. Right? So she couldn't call him Chana. I mean, the whole class would say, yeah. I mean, so she called my last names. He had no choice. And what could you do? So the same thing. There were Benazi, Rabbi Kiva called the guys. Benazi, Ben Zayma. What else? She'd come Shimon. They would all answer.
So Papa is his father? His
no.
last name?
No. There's Rav Papa was his name.
His first name, Papa?
Yeah. And this guy was Rav Papi.
Does it mean anything? Papi, Papa?
Papa.
What's up? Oh, Abai, I mean. Rav, I mean, all these names. It's interesting that people don't give today Gemara names. They never did.
Mendel, they supposed to Mendel, no?
They know, yeah, you have a guy called Abai today.
And in Gemara time, Rav, they didn't give Avraham Avinu.
Yochanan is a popular name.
Okay, but Yochanan is also biblical. Well, not biblical, but...
Rabbi, how does Rabbi Yossi determine what's a big mitzvah, a big avera?
Based on the punishment. What's worse, stealing or killing?
Killing.
Obviously. Except in Russia. In Russia, it's different. If you killed somebody and said thank you, it's a less person to feed. And if you stole, they would chop off your hand. I'm talking under Stalin. That's what they did in Russia, yeah. But... Because the less people is better for them, less mouth to feed. But obviously, if so, Rabbi Yossi opinion: just because a guy lies in money, doesn't mean he's not going to lie in capital punishment. That he's going to lie in capital punishment. Rabbi Meir says, and that's what Abaya holds: if you're a Rasha, then you're a Rasha. And the Torah says you can't have aliyot al tashet yotchem Rasha liyos et chomes. If a person's a Rasha, then he's a Rasha. Right? And that's the halacha. But according to Rabbi Yossi, okay, and according to Rava, before the Gemara Machlik Sabai and Rava, that they hold that when the Torah says a Rasha, it means only for similar levels of Rasha. In other words, if you're a Gan, if you can't testify in a civil case. But Rabbi Yossi holds just because you lie in money, in financial issues, doesn't mean you lie in capital punishment, because that's much stricter. No, human nature is like that also. Human nature is our life is small things, not for big things, right?
Taxes.
But that taxes what you can get away with. Everybody lies. Everybody lies for small things. Come on, let's be realistic. Everybody lies. But when it comes to big things, so Rameh says and Abaya holds, and that's the halacha. This is one of Yalka Gams that the halacha is a Abaya versus Rava. So the Abaya says, listen, the Torah says you're a Rasha. If you steal, you're a Rasha. If you lie, you're a Rasha. And therefore, that's it. It doesn't matter if it's a bigger case where you won't lie. You're automatically disqualified because your personality says you're a liar. That's it. And the Torah says a Rasha can't testify.
Now, but if the case is reversed, like it's monetary, and this two witnesses are also monetary lying. They can be witness?
No, if it's money and money, they can't.
Why? The capital is not money, they can't.
What cap?
When it's monetary, they can be witness. When it's capital, they cannot be witness. Yeah, just
well, what did the witnesses lie with?
The money.
Yes, sir. Like what?
If they lied in capital case and they've proven the lies in capital case.
So for sure, for a small thing, they're going to lie. If they're lying capital punishment, for sure they're going to lie in money.
No. The problem is not capital punishment. Something else, okay?
They lie in what? Money?
In money. And the two witnesses also, they say about money, lying about money. So they qualify or not?
No. Why? They're liars.
You see, I say they cannot be...
No comprendo. No. Okay. Let's go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this. Elo heina kreivim. Okay, 27b2 if you're following in English. Now we know that a relative is not allowed to be a kosher witness. It's Gzeiras HaKosev, right? Chov Zayin Amud Beis. Now what is the definition of a relative?
Brother.
No, one second. We're going to discuss, what the Mishnah is going to discuss, what are considered relatives, halachically. These are relatives. Achiv, his brother. Achi Aviv, his father's brother. Vachi Ima, his mother's brother, meaning uncles. Ubala Chesei, sister's husband, i.e. brother-in-law. Ubala Ches Aviv, his father's sister's husband, is also uncle through marriage. Ubala Ches Ima, his mother's sister's husband. Meaning, uncles no, brothers no, that stuff, no. Now, Baal Imei, what about his mother's husband? In other words, the second marriage, right? His mother remarried. Now, it's not a blood relative. Correct? Because he married his mother, but he's not related to him. V'chamav, or his father-in-law. V'gisei, or his brother-in-law. Meaning, the husband, two sisters married two men. They're also brothers-in-law. Not only his sister's husband. Hain, them, ubneim, and their children, v'chasneim, and their sons-in-law, v'chorgei, and levadei. And a stepson alone is disqualified, but not a stepson's children. Meaning, if somebody married a woman, there's a son, right? So it's a stepson. So he cannot testify in that family issue, but his kids are kosher to testify. He's not a blood relative. Right? Mm-hmm. So the stepson itself, the Gemara says, is not kosher. But not the stepsons. But that's it. And Amar Rabbi Yosi, Zu Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. That's the way Rabbi Akiva taught the relatives. Mishnah Rishayna, the first thing is that Mishnah Rishayna was Deidei Uven Deidei, his father's brother, his uncle's son, meaning his cousin. V'chala Roy L'Yosh, anybody who's able to inherit, cannot testify. In other words, according to earlier Mishnah, it's only by the laws of inheritance. If you can inherit, you're not a kosher witness. Or if you could inherit, then you're a kosher witness. But based on that, a stepson doesn't inherit. A brother-in-law doesn't inherit. Right? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva added a whole bunch more relatives that are disqualified from a thing.
From any type of testimony?
Any type of testimony.
If you're
but not monetary, right?
No, monetary, not only Yisurim. A brother-in-law can testify, this is kosher.
Rabbi, even in acute situation, there's a murder case and he was the only witness there, he's still disqualified?
That's it.
Wow.
You know, marriage is not Yisurim, it's Heterim. To bring back to someone else.
Kedushin.
So,
no. When you marry a woman, one person became mutter to you,
else.
And all her relatives are forbidden to you.
Everybody. Not just
she can have, let's say, 30 kids in her family, siblings. Possible. Muslims. Mm-hmm. 30 kids. They're all usher to you. So you got one woman permitted, everybody else is usher. Her mother, her father, her uncle, and
to
grandmother.
Her, the
kid.
Whole world is usher.
Huh?
And to her.
No, she's also to the world. But I'm saying, as far as you're concerned,
all of her relatives.
All of her relatives are also for you.
So if somebody is a liar, someone is a thief, is a known thief, he can't. He could be an aide for a wedding.
No.
He can't.
Of course not.
No.
Why not?
Because he's a ganav.
But
no, the halacha is a gabaye. If you were disqualified for no, a gabaye holds no. The halacha is a gabaye, like a mayor.
Any type of sin disqualifies you for any type of sin.
Therefore, it says when aides are called up to do they should be chayze b'tshuva.
Right.
No, it says in halacha that if you call two witnesses to be witnesses on the kedushin, they should think tshuva.
But according to Rava?
Always.
But according to Rava?
The law is not like Rava, so
no,
who cares?
No, according to Rava?
You could. Yeah.
If you're a thief, you could be...
You could testify a guy killed somebody, you could testify in Kedusha, you could testify whatever you want.
What, Kedusha is much more serious than...
Kedusha and Yisra Kodis, Skila, whatever, it's capital punishment involved.
Are these situations where they said, well, you know, there were these debates, and I would rather go according to this luminary at the time, and not...
Not once the law has decided.
That's it.
Right? That's how it worked until codifiers came about. That's what Rambam says in the Zagdam. He wrote the book because there's so many different places, and nobody knew anything else from anybody else.
Oh,
and everybody... Time. Yeah.
What if Rambam did a mistake, made a mistake?
Rambam didn't make a mistake that me and you are going to catch. That's why there's later codifiers, because on the Rambam, the Ravid argued, and the other Rishenim argued.
And Joseph Carroll wrote what he wrote. Was there any areas that he felt that maybe it was not enough due diligence was exercised?
That's why he wrote the Shulchan Aruch.
So anyway, was there ever...
When the Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that there are 200 Rabbanim that agreed with him on every din that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, let's say that there is. And that, but the Rambo argues, a lot of people argue in the Beis Yosef. That's why you have later Shulchan Aruch. That's why you have this, that's why you have that. And it's Yetzfarding, Mashkenazim.
So I'm asking about Joseph Caro himself. Was Beit Yosef ever... noticed any incongruities in Rambam's writing?
Any mistakes in Rambam?
Any dissonance between...
There's a lot of times he didn't. Not most of the time he did Paschal like the Rambam. There are a few times he didn't Paschal like the Rambam.
Okay.
And then he would
have
asked
according
to another Rishon.
Yeah.
No, was it the Rush or...
What are you talking about? It could be the Ravid, it could be Taisis, it could be the Rosh, it could be the million of Rishenim. The Drashba. What are you talking about? All the Rishenim of that era.
I said he picked between the three.
Yeah, he's
so it's Rambam, Rosh, and...
Who?
Beis Yosef,
because the three pillars was Rambam, Rosh, and Rif.
Yeah.
But the Rambam and Rif were Sephardic. The Rosh is Ashkenazic. If the Ramah Paschals, a lot of times, like the Tur was the Rosh's son. So the Tur, even the Tur argues on his father in many places.
But did he go beyond the three, like to Rashba for Halacha?
Sure.
Rambah? Rav Yosef.
Sure.
So it's, oh.
Oh, yeah.